Hebrews 9:11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. We just considered the old covenant and the earthly tabernacle. Now, the author of Hebrews points us to the fact that Jesus, as the great high priest, went into a tabernacle made not with hands, but rather into the true perfect tabernacle. Christ has appeared as the ultimate revelation from God. Now, and one of his offices is high priest, a great high priest, bringing with him good things, better things, instituting a better covenant. He's brought these good things with him as he has entered into the greater, the very presence of God, the greater tabernacle. That's a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. It was not built here on earth by fallible or mortal men like the tabernacle and temples. That is to say, not of this creation. Rather, of course, God's dwelling and throne room is not part of the earthly world that we dwell in physically. It is a perfect domain and dwelling. So by what means did Jesus enter into this greater location? It says in verse 12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. In contrast to the sacrifices of animals, Jesus offered himself up. Isaac Watts says, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. He entered into this holy place once and for all. Luke 22 says this, but from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Ephesians 1:20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Colossians 3:1, therefore if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Acts 7:55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hebrews 8:1, now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So this is a wonderful truth for us to consider. MacArthur says it this way, if we are believers, he already has taken us with him. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in the Father's presence, where spiritually speaking, we already live with him and will forever live with him. We live right now in heavenly places, in the presence of God, in his throne room, and in his sanctuary. Our citizenship is in heaven, according to Philippians 3:20. It's as good as done. Therefore, we can have great confidence in the salvation which we have in Christ. And it says he did this having obtained eternal redemption. This redemption must not take place every year. The blood of Jesus was spilt once. His body was broken once. What a wonderful truth that is. It is sufficient for us. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. In other words, the sacrifices of the Old Testament had a few functions. They did appease God's wrath at the time. They were a foreshadow of the sacrifice of Christ, and they cleansed the Israelites ritually, ceremonially. They're were ritual defilements that needed cleansing, but these sacrifices could not cleanse the inner man. They could not wash away their sins. So we look at an argument from lesser to greater. The greater is this, how much more will the blood of Christ, the blood of God eternal, taken on human flesh, lived a perfect life, followed God's laws perfectly on our behalf. He came to wash the sins of the world away. The wonderful counselor, the father of eternity, the prince of peace, his blood is so much greater than the blood of some four-footed beast. So what are some implications that we can draw? We look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. He tells us that we are not redeemed with perishable things, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. Therefore, what do we do? Cleanse our conscience. He satisfied God's wrath, and we can this cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The sacrifice is sufficient not just to cleanse ceremonially, but spiritually and inwardly, in the true way in which we needed it to. It frees us from dependence upon ourselves or a system and allows us free access through Christ's blood to God and to serve Him in worship. I read a story, I'm not sure where it's from, so I apologize, but of an evangelist. He held a tent meeting many years ago, and the tent meeting finished, and he was helping clean up the tent afterwards, and a man walked up to him and he asked, "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" And the evangelist turned and he answered, "I'm sorry, it's too late." And the man, stunned, goes, "Well, what do you mean? It's too late because the meeting is already over?" And he said, "No, it's too late for you to do anything because everything has already been done for you by Jesus Christ. Christ did everything that is necessary." Of course, we know we must repent, we must believe, but the work of salvation is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. Therefore, be reminded of that truth. You do not earn favor with God. God does not listen to you better when you've had a really great day, and so on and so on. Your acceptance before God Almighty from the moment of your salvation until the moment of your death is based upon one thing, rather one person. That is Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His sacrifice. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Do not depend on anything in and of yourself. Depend on Christ.